PBS Kids opens worlds of possibilities for all children, thanks to PBS stations and viewers like you.
Butterfly in the sky, I can go twice as high. Take a look, it's in a book, a reading rainbow.
This is 165 East 95th Street. Just the place.
Excuse me, sir.
It's just the place that I was.
Watch your step.
Oh. Just the place that I was looking for. Boy, it's hard to move, isn't it? Hiya, Snoopy. Hard to watch all of your favorite things packed up into big brown boxes that disappear into a moving van. Hard to believe they'll all show up again soon, safe and sound, in your new room. But they will. I guess everybody who's ever moved knows that jittery kind of liberty-jibberty feeling you get right here. The feeling that you can't wait to get started, and the feeling that you're not quite ready to leave. Well, even if you've never moved, you've probably had almost the same feeling. When moving on to a new classroom and a new teacher, said goodbye to an old friend, or even gone away on a summer vacation and left your friends behind. Well, this book, Gila Monsters Meet You at the Airport, tells the story of a little boy who used to live right here in this very building, then moved away with his parents. So whether you've moved or you might, or whether you're just waiting to make friends with a new kid on the block, I think there's something here for you.
Gila Monsters Meet You at the Airport by Marjorie Wineman Charman. Pictures by Byron Barton. I live at 165 East 95th Street, New York City, and I'm going to stay here forever. My mother and father are moving out west. They say I have to go too. They say I can't stay here forever. Out west, nobody plays baseball, because they're too busy chasing buffaloes. And there's cactus everywhere you look. But if you don't look, you have to stand up just as soon as you sit down. At West, it takes 15 minutes just to say hello. Like this. Howdy, partner. Out west, I'll look silly all the time. I'll have to wear chaps and spurs and a bandana and a hat so big that nobody can find me underneath it. And I'll have to ride a horse to school every day, and I don't know how. Out west, everybody grows up to be a sheriff. I want to be a subway driver. My best friend is Seymour, and we like to eat salami sandwiches together. Out west, I probably won't have any friends. But if I do, they'll be named Tex or Slim. And we'll eat chili and beans for breakfast, and lunch, and dinner. Well, I miss Seymour and salami. I'm on my way out west. It's cool in the airplane. The desert is so hot you can collapse. And then the buzzards circled overhead. But no one rescues you, because it's real life and not the movies. There are clouds out the window. No buzzards yet. I'm looking at a map. Before, whenever I looked at a map, I always knew my house was on the right. But no more. Now I'm in the middle of that map, and I'm going left, left, out west. Seymour says there are Gila monsters and horned toads out west. And I read it in a book, so I know it's so. But Seymour says they meet you at the airport. We're here, out west. I don't know what a Gila monster or horned toad looks like, but I don't think I see any at the airport.
Cactus Airlines Flight 9, departing for back east.
I see a boy in a cowboy hat. He looks like Seymour, but I know his name is Tex. Hi, I say. Hi, he says. I'm moving east. Great, I say. Great, he says. What's so great about it? Don't you know that the streets are full of gangsters? They all wear flowers in their lapels so they look honest. But they zoom around in big cars with screeching brakes. You have to jump out of their way. In the east, it snows and blows all the time. Except for 5 minutes when it's spring and summer. And you have to live on the 50th floor. Airplanes fly through your bedroom, and you've got to duck fast. They ran out of extra space in the east a long time ago. It's so crowded, people sit on top of each other when they ride to work. And alligators live in the sewers. I've read it in a book, so I know it's so. Then the mother and father of the boy, who looks like Seymour, but isn't, grab his hand and he goes off. Sometimes the alligators get out, he yells to me, and they wait for you at the airport. It's warm, but there's a nice breeze. We're in a taxi riding to our new house. No horses yet. I don't see any buffalo stampedes either. I see a restaurant just like the one in my old neighborhood. I see some kids playing baseball. I see a horse. Hey, that's a great looking horse. I'm going to ask my mother and father for one like it. Here's our house. Some kids are riding their bikes in front of it. I hope one of them is named Slim. Tomorrow, I'm writing a long letter to Seymour. I'll tell him I'm sending it by Pony Express. Seymour will believe me. Back east, they don't know much about us Westerners.
Back east, they don't know too much about us Westerners. Well, I wouldn't be too sure about that, partner. Well, no alligators in these sewers, and no airplanes ever flown through my bedroom window either. So I guess you can't believe everything you read, even if it's in a good book. Remember when I talked about earlier that funny feeling we sometimes get? Well, it's happened to me lots. I remember once it was the first day of school in the second grade. It was a big classroom with lots of kids, and to make it easier for us to find our seats, the teacher made name tags for us and put them on our desks. Well, I looked and looked, but I couldn't find a desk with my name on it. Finally, everybody in the classroom had a seat but me. I felt like I had a million butterflies in my stomach all trying to get out. Well, the teacher took me down the hall to another classroom, and there was my very own desk with my name right there on it. I sure felt better knowing I was where I belonged. You know, it's a nice day. How about a walk in the park? I wonder what our friend who moved out west is up to. Even if Gila monsters didn't meet him at the airport, I wonder if he's seen any yet. You know, I've never met a Gila monster before. I've no idea what they are or what they're like. Do you know what a Gila monster is?
A Gila monster? Sounds pretty weird to me.
Brown and furry, yellow teeth.
Big sharp claws, real claws. And if you get near him, you go, whoosh.
Well, it's got little cat's ears with a nose that has whiskers on it, with scales down the back.
He friendly. He live in the water.
Mm-hmm, the water. A Gila monster is a dragon. It's big and ugly. Stinks. And fat, too.
Well, I'm still not exactly sure what a Gila monster is, but one of the best ways to find out is to go out west and see one. This map ought to help get us going.
Monsters really aren't as big as people think they are. As you can see, they're only about 1.5 feet long. Hi, I'm Lauren Kepner, and I'm a biologist with the Arizona Game and Fish Department. As you can see, the Gila monster really isn't a monster at all, although it is larger than most of the lizards you'll find in the desert. You can see it's really well adapted for the desert. You can look at its skin. It's hard and beady and really tough. Really rough to the touch. If we can get him to stick out his tongue, you'd see that his tongue's forked, and that helps him taste the air. But if we turn him over, you can see the scales on his belly are a lot different. They're real smooth. They're not round, they're sort of square-shaped. You can see his claws here. Look at these. Got fingernails. They look like a cat's fingernails, don't they? He uses these for digging. Either digging up eggs in nests or digging out the dirt out of a burrow. And you can see his tail, how thick it is. It's long and blunted, and it's pretty thick, and this is where he stores fat. When he eats, he stores energy in here. He can use up this energy in his tail. Well, let's take a look and see what this guy looks like walking along the ground. We have to be careful, though, because if he starts moving away and finds a mammal burrow, he can disappear down the hole. There's his tongue moving in and out, trying to taste the air, get a location on things. He's a protected animal in the state of Arizona. It's because not many people know very much about them. You don't see them that often. The reason he got his name, Gila Monster, is the early explorers found him while they traveled along the Gila River. There are a lot of myths about this animal. People were scared of it. They even thought that it had poisonous breath, and that when it breathed on you, you would either die or all the plants and animals around it would wither up and die. You see, when he walks, he holds his body above the ground and his tail also. That's because when the ground gets too hot during the hot summer months, he's got to keep his body up above it so he doesn't get too hot and have to go under too soon. Here's a burrow entrance that the Gila monster might use. He'll use those claws we saw earlier to dig around in here to dig out the dirt so he can fit down under there. He'll get out of the heat of the day that way. Usually they're found typically under creosote bushes like this. The creosote bush, like the Gila monster, it had to adapt to the desert heat also. It has a thick resin coating on its leaves so it doesn't lose that much water. There's lots of bushes and trees in the desert and lots of cacti also. You've probably seen this one in back of me, the saguaro cactus. It's been in a lot of movies and books. How big do you really think it is? Watch this. Wow, can you believe how tall this is? It must be over 20 feet high. The saguaro cactus is one of the tallest cacti in the Arizona desert. It's also one of the oldest. This one here must be about 150 years old. If you take a closer look at the saguaro, you can see that its skin is really tough, but the thick skin protects it from the heat of the day. It has spines, which are actually modified leaves. These are real sharp and pointed. You wouldn't want to run into this cactus. You know, a lot of people have the misconception that the desert is a really dry place with no water at all. But actually, there are rivers that cut through the desert and bring water down from the mountains. There are two rivers not very far from here. Why don't we go take a look at where they meet? Down at the river, and see, there's a lot more water here than we saw back in the desert where we came from. This is the Salt River, and it comes from the east in the mountains and flows down west through the desert. The Verde River comes down from the north and flows down and meets the Salt right here. This is the confluence where the two rivers meet. You can see the mesquite trees down here at the river. It's mesquite and salt cedar. This is introduced, and it's actually from Africa. And if you look at it, it's got a feathery appearance, sort of like plumes on a bird. The plants are totally different than the ones we saw in the desert. These plants need a lot of water. That's why they're so close down here. If the water wasn't here, they wouldn't be here. If we come down closer, these rocks that we're walking on, sometimes of the year you wouldn't even be able to step out here on them because they'd be underwater. After the winter rains, get a lot more water through here, and the water line can be up as high as those arrowweeds across the bank. There's a great blue heron coming down the bank. If you come down here early enough in the morning, you can hear the different shorebirds and wading birds that'll be along the banks here. And also, there's a lot of animals that come down to drink. You might see a coyote or a deer, a raccoon, and there's skunks all around also. Let's see if we can find some tracks from some of these animals over here. Well, here are the tracks we've been looking for. You can see they show up really good in the mud. The great blue heron, the bird we saw flying earlier. There's also coyote paw prints, which are a lot like dog prints, like a German shepherd. And oh, wow, look at the skunk tracks. You can just picture a little skunk coming down out of the bushes there along the rocks, coming down to the water and pawing at it to get a drink, and then running back in under cover. There's also raccoon tracks here. And he would come down to the water at night also, when it's calm and quiet and nothing to bother them. See, it's been really fun showing you the desert and the river today. I've had a really good time. I hope you've enjoyed yourselves. You know, when I came out here from back east a few years ago, the desert was strange to me, the cactus, the plants, and the wildlife. But I've adapted to it, and just like the wildlife and animals have, and really have learned to enjoy myself. It's great out here. And maybe if you ever get a chance to come out, you can stop by and get a look at this stuff yourself. Bye-bye.
To think that way out west, everyone was strangely dressed, and chili beans for breakfast was what they liked the best. Now I've got it straightened out, I know what things are all about. I've been out west, and now I see the people there are just like me. I thought the desert was a place full of sand and empty space, where nothing grows, and if you go, you're lost without a trace. Now I've got it straightened out, I know what things are all about. I've seen the desert, and I can say, I recommend you go someday. I thought that there could never be a better place to live for me, 'cause everything was just the way I wanted it to be. Now I've got it straightened out, I know what things are all about. Moving isn't such a crime, some folks do it all the time.
A suitcase, don't have to pack. I've got my house right here on my back. It doesn't matter how far I roam. Wherever I go, I'm always home. Moving on, moving slow. Turtles go just where they want to go. Whenever I get tired of the view, I pick up my house and go someplace new. It doesn't matter how far I roam. Wherever I go, I'm always home. I'm always home.
Tomorrow, I'm writing a long letter to Seymour.
Sound familiar?
I'll tell him I'm sending it to Pony Express. Seymour will believe me. Back east, they don't know much about us Westerners. Hi, LeVar.
Hi.
Come on in, have a seat. Well, why don't we take some time and talk about the book? Did you like it?
Yes.
Did you ever move?
Yes.
You did?
Yes.
Let's find out about that. You moved? Where did you move from?
Well, to schools. You see, I was in the school a long time, 3 years,
mm-hmm.
and I had to move to another school, and it was kind of hard.
What was hard about it?
Well, I had, like, a nice teacher and friends that I really liked, and it was hard leaving them.
And now that you've been there for a while, how do you feel about school?
Better.
Allison, you told me you've moved, haven't you? What was it like?
Boring.
Boring?
Was it also exciting when you moved? I mean, wasn't there new stuff to look forward to?
It's not fun.
It's not fun.
You have to pack, you have to go, and then you have to unpack.
You have to leave your friends, Mommy.
How many of you have ever gone on a vacation? Have you ever had a special feeling right before you leave the house for your vacation?
Well, before my mother even told me, I thought I wouldn't even go with any of my friends.
And then what happened?
Well, I asked her if one of any of my friends were coming, and then she said yes, so I kind of felt better.
Do you remember the first time you went to maybe a different school after school for a lesson? How did you feel that first time? Think about when you walked into the room and there you were and everybody was new to you and there were new boys and girls and new adults. How did you break the ice?
Like the teacher, she just asked you to go sit over there with the other kids and like make something. Like so the other kids, they just like, they show you how to do stuff and they smile at you. And then that's the way you can make friends.
Well, I've got just one question. We have some paper and some crayons and some magic markers over here. And how would you guys like to draw maybe some dreams you've had or about some of the things we've talked about? Maybe draw a picture of a new friend. It could be anything, anything you want to draw at all. Would you guys like to do that?
Yeah.
Yeah?
If you liked Gila Monsters Meet You at the Airport, here are some other good books you might enjoy. But you don't have to take my word for it.
Hello, my name is Stephanie, and I'd like to tell you about the book named Mitchell is Moving. It's about two dinosaurs named Mitchell and Margot. And Mitchell is tired of the same old house, so he decides to move. But Margot decides he doesn't want Mitchell to move because they're best friends. I liked this book because I thought the pictures and drawings were very funny. My favorite part of the book was when Margot said that she was going to tie him with a rubber band around his house. Kids out there, I'm not trying to con you, which means I'm not trying to do this just as a job. It's really and truly a good book, and I think you'll really enjoy it. Hi, my name is Percy Jones. I read the book called Peter's Chair. This book is about a boy named Peter who was losing all his baby things to his new baby sister. But he couldn't take it when his high chair in his cradle was being painted pink. So he decided to take his old blue chair and run. My favorite thing about the book was the illustrations because it captured Peter's feelings and emotions for this blue chair. I think you should read this book because it helps you understand that you are growing up and you have to make way for newcomers into your family.
Hello, boys and girls. I'm Africa. How would you like to read a terrific book? It's called The Big Hello. It's about a little girl that's moving across country to California. But she don't want to move because she's afraid she won't have any friends. All she has is her mother, her father, and a little doll baby named Sarah. Most kids are the same. They like happy books with happy endings. This book has a real happy ending. That's why I like it. That's why you'll like it, too.
I thought I'd bring you to one of my favorite New York places before the show is over. As you can see, New York isn't all crowded, noisy streets. There are lots of places just like this. You know, moving and changing can be a little frightening, but taking new steps and making new starts can also be full of wonderful surprises. It's always hard to leave what you know, but it's also exciting to head for something brand new. Even if you've never moved, you're moving on all the time. Growing up, learning more, trying something new. For some people, though, moving on means really moving. North, south, east, out west, or over to the west side. For other people, moving on means climbing a mountain, going to a new school, making a new friend, even picking up a book. Brought my own today. See you next time.